Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, the Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
Before I open up a prayer, let me go ahead and read something. Maybe you did not know about the history behind that peculiar hymn known as Jesus, Lover of My Soul by Charles Wesley. Assuming you didn't know, you're going to find out some of the history behind that. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the mere waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide. The storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. By the refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Wilt thou not regard my call? Wilt thou not accept my prayer? Lo, I sink, I faint, I fall. Lo, on thee I cast my care. Reach me out thy gracious hand while I of thy strength receive. Hoping against hope I stand, dying and behold I live. Dying and behold I live. Remember, Brother Kenny, what I told you basically the theme of this message? Tonight, dead but alive.
Yeah.
O thou Christ, art all I want more than all thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am, thou art full of truth and grace. For me is grace to be is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of light and fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring up within my heart, rise to all eternity. Charles Wesley was preaching in the fields of the parish of Killyleagh, County Down, Ireland, when he was attacked by men who did not approve of his doctrines. He sought refuge in a house located in what was known as the Island Barn House. The farmer's wife, Jane Lowry Moore, told him to hide in the milk house down in the garden. Soon the mob came and demanded the fugitive. She tried to quiet them by offering them refreshments. Going down to the milk house, she directed Mr. Wesley to get through the rear window and hide under the hedge by which ran a little brook. In that hiding place, with the cries of his pursuers all about him, he wrote this hymn. Descendants of Mrs. Moore still live in the house, which is much the same as it was in Wesley's time. So, there's a little taste of the history behind that hymn by Charles Wesley, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Can you say Jesus is the lover of your soul tonight? Can you rejoice in that fact? Amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We're talking about dead but alive tonight. Though I'm sure I can speak to you, I will definitely speak for myself, because I know I can speak for myself. I am dead, and yet I am alive. It is written. I'll go ahead here and have a word of prayer quick before we get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we do come to you tonight, Lord God, as we consider, dear Lord God, how we are, through the law, dead to the law, and yet we are alive unto you, the living God. Crucified with Christ, nevertheless, we live. In the life which we now live, in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of you, the living God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Father God, we pray, Lord God, that you would equip us, dear Lord God, even through this time in your word, to go forth this week, dear Lord God, and to be used of you, dear Lord God, that others, dear Lord God, who are currently dead in trespasses and sins, but not yet dead to the law through the law, would find themselves dead to the law through the law, and alive unto you, the living God, in and by faith of your Son, Jesus Christ. Sanctify us all the more, dear God, through thy truth, Lord God, even as thy word is truth. We praise you to give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, but the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? Verse 2. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Verse 3. So that if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead of the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Verse 6, but now are we delivered from the law, being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, consider, verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, you become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So, we say that before God we are indeed dead to the law by the body of Christ. Christ himself has been crucified in our stead, in our place. We haven't acknowledged his crucifixion on our behalf. We would say that we are tonight married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead. According to Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, are we bringing forth fruit unto God as we ought? Therefore, my brethren, you become dead to the law of the body of Christ, you should be married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. May we inspect our own fruit tonight, before our God, and may we be found, abounding in that fruit unto God, even as we have been made to serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. I'm reminded how it is written in Paul's one letter to the church of Corinth. Any man being Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. So even as all things have passed away, for us who are in Christ, we're not serving in the oldness of the letter. Even as we've made new creatures in Christ, we're serving in the newness of the Spirit. The Word of God declares, Revelation 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. There's a particular group out there that calls themselves the Hebrew Roots Movement. And though I'm not going to get into the details of their particular doctrine tonight, and what they, at least not much of what they believe. I will say that there's much damnable about it. There's much damnable about it. More need to be condemned, and there's much about it that is condemned by God ultimately. But I will share this. One of the things that the Hebrew Roots crowd likes to say is get back to your roots. And really when they say get back to your roots, the spirit that drives them to say that is the spirit that would try to get you serving once again in the oldness of the letter, or in and according to the spirit of the law, which according to Romans chapter 7, verse 6, we are delivered from the law, its bondage, which worketh wrath. Yeah, they say if you get back to your roots, well, Romans 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. They want to tell me to get back to my roots. I will tell them that Jesus is my root. And by God's grace, I have been back to him since March of 1995.
Amen.
Jesus is not the law. According to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law could not do that it was weak through the flesh. God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law would be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I have the Spirit of the lawgiver living in me. And therefore in me, the law is already fulfilled. Because I got the lawgiver living in me. Oh, I'm dead to the law, but I'm alive unto God. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The body is dead because of sin. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 7 verse 5 says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. For the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
Not just physical, but also spiritual death. The climax of which is in the lake of fire, according to Revelation chapter 20 verse 14 to 15. The death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast to the lake of fire. Those who say married to the law are often going to die by the law, and they're going to die the second death. But those who are married to Christ, the crucified, lawgiver, risen from the dead, there is newness of life, and the death have no dominion over them. So, where do you stand tonight, you who are listening to this recording? Are you still married to the law? Are you still in subjection to the death which comes by the law? Still on your way to a lake of fire? Why not by faith be married? Be married to the lawgiver, Jesus Christ, crucified for you, for your sins, risen from the dead. Why not receive the newness of the Spirit? It comes through him, and him alone. Receive that tonight, today, wherever you are listening to this. The law is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. That you might be justified by faith. Again, Romans 7 verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, our sinful, Adamic nature that we inherited from Adam, the motions of sins defy the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7 through 9 declares, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What are you sowing to? Listener, are you sowing to your flesh? Are you sowing to your sinful nature? Or are you sowing to the Spirit of God, Spirit, whereby one reaps life everlasting? Verse 9 of Galatians 6. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for due season we shall reap if we faint not. You and I who are married to Jesus Christ by way of the Spirit of Christ, having been born of the Spirit, begotten again unto a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, are we not being weary and well-doing? Are we fainting not? Again, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not faint. They shall walk and not grow weary. Isaiah chapter 11. They want to talk about getting back to your roots. Isaiah chapter 11. Verses 1 through 5. We'll read about some roots here. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, capital B, off of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Do you have fear of the Lord tonight, listener? The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Do you have the knowledge of the holy, which is understanding? Verse 3, it shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge it from the sight of his eyes, neither reprove of the hearing of his ears. For with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. My righteousness is not my own. My righteousness is the righteousness of him whose righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. You bet that his righteousness, listener, because your righteousness as a fallen sinner, that filthy rags before God. And your iniquity is like the wind of taking you away. It is written, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. For I through the law, and dead of the law, but I might live unto God. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. When you try in any degree to justify yourself by way of the law and all of its commands, you frustrate the grace of God, the grace, the unearned, unmerited favor of God. For it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin, but by the law. For I have not known nothing, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Turn over to 1 Timothy 1, starting in verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 5. One can sum up the Hebrew roots doctrine and those who teach it as those of whom the Word of God speaks in verse 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor where they affirm. Starting in verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. How is our charity tonight, Christian? Are we walking according to a pure heart which we have received of the living God? With good conscience, faith unfeigned, Verse 6, 1 Timothy 1, from which some, having swerved, turned aside into vain jangling. Verse 7, desire to teach them the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Now verses 8 through 11, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man, for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and for any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel, the blessed God is committed to my trust. The glorious gospel, the blessed God, is summed up among other places in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I delivered unto you that which I first of all received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Yeah.
And without controversy, 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Jesus said, if you believe not, I am he, you shall die in your sins. Verily I say unto thee, before Abraham was, I am. That's what Jesus said. You better believe it. If you don't, you're dead in your sins. And if you die as a stake, you'll die in your sins as Antichrist. And you will go to an everlasting lake of fire. And again, look at that real quickly right there again. For those of you, if you're part of the Hebrew Roots crowd, if you're part of any one of these groups, Seventh-day Adventists, you name any of you that want to go back to the law, try and save yourself or keep yourself saved in any way, look at that again in verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. I will tell you based on that verse, just the fact that you're trying to save yourself or keep yourself saved by the law, that is a manifest token or evidence that you yourself are not a righteous man before God. You do not have the righteousness of God yet imputed to you, hence you're still seeking to establish your own righteousness, and you best repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in him alone. Romans 7, verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, being dead where we were held, and we should serve the newness of the Spirit and not the newness of the letter. So, I'm dead and yet I'm alive tonight. By way of God and his amazing grace to Jesus Christ. The law of God has served its purpose in me as a schoolmaster to bring me to Jesus Christ, that I might be justified by faith. And I have been operating ever since by the law of faith. What law are you operating according to tonight, listener? You operate according to the law of works, the law of faith. Romans makes it clear that boasting is excluded by the law of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Christian, are you walking? Am I walking tonight? Today? In those works which God has ordained for me, for you? Are we walking in those works? By God's grace, we are and will. Word of God makes it very clear. In the book of Romans, chapter 7. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. But again, we saw in 1 Timothy 1, verse 9, the law is not made for a righteous man. Verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. The Apostle Paul writes in verse 14 of Romans 7 under inspiration, we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Hey, I agree. I agree with God. I'm carnal. By nature, I'm carnal, sold under sin. Or, as Paul puts it in Romans 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. The evil which I would not, that I do. Verse 20 of Romans 7, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 21, I find a law. I find them a law, but when I would do good, evil is present with me. Try to preach that once down at the local Nazarene church, why don't you? And you know where they want to talk about all their, you know, sinless perfection, their second blessing, you know, and how they attain a state of sinless perfection. I preach Romans 7 in a Nazarene church sometime.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. Cursed. The everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, we're told in the book of Galatians, all but here it is. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Menial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness, God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone, for by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber. Till next time, God bless you and yours.